to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, have you ever gone to hear someone really famous speak, or maybe a concert of a really famous, well-known band, that afterwards you were like, "That's it? Really?" It's happened to me a couple times. A couple years ago, Abby and I stretched ourselves and got some tickets, expensive tickets, no less, to go see The Shins, a pretty well-known band that is out of Portland. They were playing at the Wilma a couple years back, and the first hour plus of the concert was filled not only with one, but with two uninspiring opener bands. When The Shins actually took the stage and started to play, at least to me, they first looked overwhelmed by how Montana could produce such a large crowd. And it also felt to me like they were playing some kind of like dress rehearsal or something the entire night. It's like they were saving up their energy for a bigger concert the following night. I don't know, probably in Seattle or something. And they didn't get this. They didn't even play an encore, which, you know, most bands usually do, I would think. And I remember once we were done and, you know, all filing out of the Wilma Theater, I turned to Abby, who just kind of shrugged and said, "That's it? That's it?" I wondered. Now, I want to not go too far in associating Jesus with The Shins, but at the same time, we read in the Gospel of Luke this: "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone." Jesus was becoming a little bit of a superstar, well known, and at least at the beginning, well liked. Things were going well. So I would imagine by the time he returned to Galilee, Jesus was popular enough to pack the synagogues. He was The Shins coming to Missoula, and all people wanted to hear him and what he had to say. So you can maybe imagine the disappointment then when Christ reads a portion of Scripture, goes and sits down, and then his sermon to them consists of 9 words. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's it? Seems like we should all be saying, "That's it? We dragged our butts all the way out here for this?" It's easy, I think, to feel disappointed, perhaps, but once you dig a little bit deeper, you can find signs of Jesus truly, I think, mixing things up in a creative and revolutionary way. And the first thing that is interesting to us modern readers of this text, of this story, is getting down to the question of what exactly was Jesus quoting here? The text says Jesus is quoting the book of Isaiah and that he is even finding his place in the scroll. The problem is no verse in the book of Isaiah exactly matches Jesus' words in Luke. Biblical scholars' best guess is the words which Jesus is quoted here in saying by Luke is a rough sandwiching of Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 and 2 and Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6. Key words from both of these Isaiah passages make an appearance. So, was Jesus making a scriptural error? Was the scroll he was reading from not exactly accurate? Was it Luke, the gospel writer? We have no idea. Clearly, however, and this is quite difficult for those biblical literists out there that believe God just kind of fly down and wrote the Bible word by word perfectly, the exact translation, I think, didn't matter compared with the point of the story. Beyond this fact, here is the other radical part of this sermon by Jesus that we aren't used to. He goes and he sits down. One commentator I recently read on this section of Scripture writes, "One thing that makes us in the modern era a little bit uncomfortable is that Jesus doesn't really preach here. He reads from the Scripture and then sits down to have a conversation." When I was applying for colleges years back, I was in high school, I was applying also for music and voice scholarships. And one of the top schools on my list for applying, and many of you here are alma maters from this school, and that is Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. Dr. Weston Noble of the Nordic Choir was directing that choir at the time. And I was applying for the voice scholarship there. Now, usually applying for music scholarships, and Jen Sladen can back me up probably, when you're usually applying for a music scholarship, you usually do the same kind of thing. You record yourself singing or playing, you write a little essay, and then if they invite you, you come out and do a live person audition. That's kind of the way it works. So when I was asked then by Luther College to come out and give an in-person audition, this is what I expected. Upon getting there, I realized that this wasn't going to go like the other schools. First off, there wasn't any scholarship committee to audition with. Instead, it was me being invited to go and knock on Dr. Weston Noble's office door, with he himself opening the door and inviting me into the room. And after knocking on his office door, he invited me to sit down, and instead of going right to the piano to sing my little song for him, he actually invited me right to his desk and said, "Well, so where are you from? Eric, tell me a little bit about yourself." And we got talking for over half an hour about my church, my family, my home in Minnesota. And then he invites me after about half an hour to the piano, and there was no accompanist or anything like that. He just kind of sits down and plays the piece himself with me singing. And after finishing the piece, you know, you're used to, after an audition, finishing the piece and then walking off the stage and saying, "See you later." But Weston Noble pauses And he looks at the music and he says, "Eric, that was so great. But this one section, you know, I can't get these words out of my head." And I think that the composer is wanting this section to be a little bit more quiet. What do you think? Let's try and sing this section just a little bit more quieter and see what that does. Okay. Sure. So we start singing this over and over again, and he keeps batting these ideas. "What do you think, Eric? Well, what do you think? Oh, that would be perfect." Well, an hour and a half later, he finally gets a phone call where I leave the office. This wasn't a stilted, formal audition, I remember thinking then. This was a conversation where the teacher cared more about my thoughts, my experiences, my vocal interpretation. It was a teacher wanting the conversation more than an audition. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. What does that mean? It's not the "I'm going to stand here and tell you what it means" type of thing most people are used to. Jesus intentionally and purposefully opens up the conversation and lets us in. So, what is created when we are let in? When Dr. Noble started asking me questions and we started doing the piece over and over again with specific differences, which I was suggesting, it gave me, it turns out, a radical freedom, unlike anything I had ever experienced in an audition before. It gave me the freedom to own this piece, to own myself, to own my learning. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight of the blind." Jesus is giving radical freedom to those gathered in the synagogue as well. Freedom to wrestle with, not be lectured to, how the scripture being fulfilled affects them and how it affects the world. This is God starting the conversation with God's people, saying to them, "What do you think?" It's annual Sunday today, if you all remembered that. To me, this text for annual meeting Sunday is really pertinent to our action today of an annual meeting. Because an annual meeting, in a basic sense, is the wrestling together with the question of what does it mean for us that this scripture has been fulfilled today? What does it mean for us that God has done this work? What do you think? Now, maybe some of you are expecting an epic Shins-like concert and instead going to get a conversation, and that might be a little bit shocking, I know. But at the end of the day, our being invited into the conversation in how the Holy Spirit is working in our time and place is much more moving and powerful than some little sermon or pronouncement telling us how it works. You know what's interesting? We throw around the word liturgy a lot in this church. And usually when we're referring to the word liturgy, when most people are using that term in this church, we're referring to the order of our Sunday morning worship, right? Which includes music and the sermon and the Holy Communion, etc., etc. But you know what the basic word of liturgy or letrogia means? It literally just means work of the people. It's the early Christians' understanding of how the Spirit fills a place And then the people do liturgy. They do the work of the people in response to the Spirit being there. Our liturgy is our work here today. Our gathering, our singing, our listening, our discussing, and our wrestling. Jesus, I believe, understood this when he went to go and sit down and say, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What do you think? Let's get to work. Amen.